Maybe you go for a Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, behave yourself. Imagine Brendan goes and loses the first three games. Former Liverpool manager. No chance.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Okay, you're very welcome. It's time for us to turn our attention to some breaking news from the world of GAA. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by my partner in crime from OTBAM. It's Owen Sheehan. Owen, how are you?
Yeah, good, Ger. What's the crack?
On a Friday afternoon, I know you go off and you have a boozy lunch and you lie on the couch and you watch Bargain Hunt. But this afternoon, your phone went into meltdown. At a few minutes ago, we learned that it's expected next week the GPA will make their first public pronouncement on the options facing Congress when it comes to the massive seismic vote that's happening about the future of Gaelic football. And it's expected that they will... The vast majority of intercounty squads will be voting in favour of Proposal B, which is to make the league the championship, essentially. That was one bit, which we'll get into in detail in a moment. The other bit was a statement from Peter Keane, the now former Kerry County football manager. I have not really seen a statement from a manager issued from his own Gmail account, not through the official county board channels, that was as honest and as raw as a statement as Peter Keane's statement was, and that I think speaks still of the divisions within Kerry football.
100%. I don't think that anybody will have been too surprised by the contents of the email. I think people will have been very surprised that the email was sent in the first place. And this was a theme that has emerged from the very start after Kerry lost to Tyrone, and when it kind of came out that Jack O'Connor was leaving Kildare. What would Kerry do with Peter Keane? And there was a lot of people who said, listen, I mean, it's not his job anymore. He had to go and reapply for his job. And in time, Kerry would eventually thank him for the service he has given to the county and eventually say he is not our manager anymore. That is yet to happen. I'm sure it's going to happen next Monday at some point with a way too late statement. But Peter Keane has got in first here, and he has released one really important piece of information that we were already aware of, but wasn't really out there in the public domain. And this is that the players were all on side for Peter Keane. Last Friday, my understanding is that the players held a meeting and voted to keep Peter Keane as Kerry manager. We know that later on that day, Jack O'Connor was then affirmed as the next Kerry boss. He was the manager who was going to go forward and be recommended at this management meeting, which is next Monday, as far as I know. So this is nothing against Jack O'Connor in terms of what Peter Keane is saying, but it is an interesting division that has automatically arisen because he's sticking up for himself. Because he got a little bit screwed over at the end, I feel, by a lack of just a polite statement or just a few platitudes here and there, or even a bit more directness from everybody involved in the decision-making process.
Yeah, I when the statement was issued, the first thing I did was go to the Kerry County Board website to go looking for the thanks very much for the time and effort and energy and investment that you've made in Kerry football. And that's a financial investment as well. He's one of the sponsors of various club football championships in the county. And that's a very important relationship that he has built up with the Kerry footballing public, with those players, and you would have thought with the county board. But there was nothing on the county board's website saying thanks for your time and thanks for your service. They did have a statement saying that they were recommending that the body charged with recommending the new management team was going to put the three lads forward, and that's fair enough. That's 100% their right to do so. But somewhere along the way, a little bit of a thanks very much for the time and effort and hard work that you guys put in, because we know that the effort that it takes to manage an intercounty team is serious, and you were serious men and you gave it your all, and we came up against, you know, pretty unfortunate square ball goal, best player gets injured, a lot went against them in this year of COVID, and they were within a hair's breadth of beating the best team in the country in the semi-final.
Absolutely. And one other thing to remember on that is that it's not just Peter Keane here as well. You've got to throw Tommy Griffin and Maurice Fitzgerald in there with him as well. He mentions them in the statement. The one thing I wanted to see from this next appointment from Kerry was a bit of long-term thinking. And again, you may think that this is something against Jack O'Connor. Absolutely not. I think Jack O'Connor can be part of a long-term strategy for Kerry where, I don't know, Declan O'Sullivan comes up next year and he is groomed to be the senior manager, or Jack O'Connor just wins in All-Ireland. And that is never a bad thing for long-term thinking. But what this suggests to me is pure short-termism, where they're happy to say, Peter Keane, Maurice Fitzgerald, Tommy Griffin, who cares about them? They're done. They've had their chance. We will never need to work with them in a professional capacity over the next little while. They've gone close to burning bridges here, which I don't see any reason behind whatsoever. Maurice Fitz, an absolute legend of the game, one of the finest Kerry players of all time, is part of this management ticket that have gone ignored over the last little while. Again, we can repeat ourselves here, but there is nothing wrong with appointing a new management and saying your time is up. But that just has not been part of the public discourse, which has now been allowed to be moulded by Peter Keane, because Kerry have said nothing about him for weeks and weeks and weeks.
It's been a real honour for me to have been involved with the Kerry County setup, the statement says, over the last decade. From development squads to managing both the minor and senior football teams. It was great to work with so many of our talented young footballers to watch their progression. Showing potential from young players in development squads was a privilege. To be able to guide them to make the step up to minor level and then on to senior level has been hugely rewarding. Unfortunately, losing the semi-final by 1 point in extra time to the eventual All-Ireland winners led to a decision to end the work we had started and the momentum we had built. I know the players very much wanted us to continue with our project. They were the reason I wanted to stay. We are a united Kerry team with a great sense of purpose and ambition. All the players communicated to the County Board subcommittee their strong preference for the present management to be retained. It's most disappointing that their wishes do not appear to have been considered in the decision-making process. The players are a credit to their families, partners, clubs and communities. I wish them every success in the future as they start out again. It's been a very tough time for everyone over the last while. During my term, we had two very unusual GAA seasons. It was fantastic to start seeing fans back at games again. I will now rejoin the Kerry supporters in the stands and the terraces, and I want to thank all the wonderful Kerry supporters who have given such fantastic backing over the years. I'd also like to pay tribute to all those who've been involved in the backroom team at minor and senior level over the past 6 years, especially James Foley, Morris Fitz and Tommy Griffin. Too many others to mention, but they all know how much I appreciated their input and friendship. I'd especially like to thank my wife Siobhan and my three boys for giving me their unwavering and unbelievable support over the years. Kiri Abu, Peter Keane. I don't remember this. I actually don't really remember anything like this. It's heartfelt and it strikes the right tone, essentially. I understand if you're in the incoming management team, you'd be a bit like, geez, it feels a little bit like we've been thrown under the bus here and that we've got a bit of patching up to do with the players. But that'll, you know, there'll be a new squad. It'll be a new team. Kerry 2022 will not be the Kerry 2021. That's how life works. You're a sports person. You blink, blink. The defeat's gone. You move on to next season. So I don't really buy the argument that he shouldn't have done it on that front, which is some people are making. It's like, you know, you're supposed to go quietly into the night. Why should you? Tell everybody what you think.
Well, you say you've never seen anything like this, and that's probably true. But the one thing that this kind of reminds me of, and it's different, I accept, but of Paddy O'Shea's departure in 2003. You remember that day in the Gleneagle Hotel where he is almost forcibly departing as Kerry manager? He doesn't want to go, but he knows that his time is up, and he's flanked by two Kerry GAA county board men. And it felt that Kerry GAA had very much controlled Paddy's exit. Paddy could say his bit, but this was a Kerry GAA event in a hotel in Killarney, and that was how it was going to go. Kerry have completely dropped the ball on this one, and now Peter Keane has completely controlled the narrative. And to be honest with you, maybe when I say at the start this is not going to affect Jack O'Connor's tenure whatsoever, maybe there is this implicit tone that exists now, and Peter Keane is in amongst the fans once again, and people are like, poor Peter Keane. Like, that may not be the reality or how people will think, but I don't know, I think the narrative has changed quite a bit in his favour as a result of the last couple of weeks. And the maybe there is an implicit pressure immediately on the new management team that come in. Like, it's good that he says that he's seen the positive side of the Kerry fans. I think that maybe during COVID, obviously, there was nobody in to watch a lot of games when things weren't going well against Cork, for example, that day. I'm sure he maybe would have got the harsh end of the stick that day. But by and large, his experience with Kerry fans has been positive. And he will probably go away, despite being the first Kerry manager in, I think, 26 years, to have not won an All-Ireland during one of his tenures. I think he'll go away, especially after this, as with a little bit of a silver lining in the hearts of Kerry people.
I think that, and maybe that's important to him, you know, and I think it's okay for somebody to try and re-establish that connection that they have with their own people. And it seems a little bit to me like that's what the statement has done. I'm very interested to hear what the response from the Kerry footballing public is going to be. I'm very interested to hear what the lads at Terrace Talk are going to be talking about and what Gerry Sullivan's going to be talking about in Radio Kerry as well. So we'll keep a close eye on that over the next while. 53106 is the text number. The other thing that's happened, that has just happened this afternoon, OTB has learned that the majority of players, the overwhelming support amongst players ahead of the special Congress is for option B. And just a quick recap, if you haven't been paying attention to this, we've been doing work on it over the last 2 weeks just to try and get everybody having the conversation. Special Congress is happening in about 22 days, I think. And at that, various options are going to be put to the delegates to decide the future structure of Gaelic football. One of the options will see four divisions, and those four divisions will be essentially the same divisions that we have in the league at the moment. And the top five teams from Division 1, the top two teams from Division 2, the champions from Division 3 and Division 4 will all go into the All-Ireland quarterfinals. But every team will have three meaningful summer championship games at home and four away, or four at home and three away. This has the potential to unlock Gaelic football as one of the greatest sports in the world. Teams will play each other at a similar standard. In high summer, they'll have the same access to training. They'll train for the same amount of time. We'll have data and information. There'll be highlights. There'll be Division 3 and Division 4 players scoring worldies that suddenly become famous because of social media. It's clear what we think from the conversations that we've been having, that there is one option which far outweighs it. The other option is a convoluted teams who fail in their provincial championships to go to another province and then try and win in that province, even though they got hockeyed in their original province. So they're coming off a 30-point defeat. So, you know, if Longford get beaten by Dublin in the first round of the championship by 30 points, then they'd have to go down and play Kerry. Well, that's their reward. Congratulations, guys. Maybe there'd be a round robin before they get to Kerry, so it would actually just make, you know, they'd play Waterford, and then they get the prize for that is to play Kerry. Well done. Congratulations, you beat Waterford, but now you get to play Kerry, who beat them by 30 points. And it's like, we could lock these in forever, or we could like try a little bit of change. And it seems like, certainly our information coming through today is that the GPA have been intensely working with the players and the individual squads. They've produced a video to outline the various options, and they've asked them for their opinions, and they've gone and got the squads to come back to them. And overwhelmingly, the squads are coming back and saying, status quo, no. We do not want what we have, which is obviously at the moment, we still have year three of the Super 8s to go through, technically. So we could go back to that, but more than likely we'll just go back to the qualifiers before the Super 8s. Or we can have Plan B. And it seems like the players want Plan B. What's your take on this, Owen?
This is, again, not really surprising at all that the players want this. What will be very interesting is to see how powerful the players' voice is over these next 22 days. So the players, if you're a football player who is involved in any level at the moment at Intercounty, this is obviously the thing for you, because it's more games at the better time of the year and more meaningful games at that as well. Less training, more games. It is a well-worn cliche at this point, but it has been beaten to death almost as a phrase because they haven't actually got that. The Super 8s fixed it for a couple of counties actually during that time. There are a couple of counties who came away from the summer of 2018 and 2019, I would say, with a much more satisfying season. The likes of Monaghan came away with a much more satisfying season. I would say Kerry came away with a much more satisfying season, as did the Dubs. But that's only a handful of counties. That the way Pádraig Duffy thought about that and the benefits he wanted to try and find were totally right. The way he was thinking about it was the right way. The method was obviously the wrong thing. Now everybody gets to experience what it was like to have that satisfying summer. The main barrier between this and its end conclusion, which is getting over 60% in special congress, I think, is the Ulster counties. And that is not some sort of, oh, Ulster will vote against the rest. It's because Ulster have genuinely had the best provincial championship. But what's really interesting about this is that the Ulster players are on board for this as well. The Tyrone players, who have enjoyed incredible provincial championships and incredible All-Ireland runs, are up for this as well. Because the thing is, you can take a very, very good thing and make it great. And this is what this promises to do for the Ulster teams. We will have an unbelievable Ulster championship to start off every single season. All eyes will be on Ulster because, let's face it, it is still the best provincial championship. And whisper it, the provincial championships are still alive. This is not killing the provincial championships. These things will still live. But then in the summertime, we will have a Division 1 that, the way football is being played at the moment, will be dominated by Ulster counties. Half of that division essentially will be Ulster counties. So the way I'm thinking about this now, I'm like, why are Ulster people potentially against this? And maybe as time goes on, they change their minds, and the players in Tyrone and Donegal and Monaghan actually have an impact on those delegates going to Congress. Because let's face it, and let's admit this, the players are the most important part in this. They are the stakeholder. They are the ones that make you happy, no matter where you're from.
Well, so yes, absolutely. The other most important part of it is actually the supporters and the fans, who will get access to their heroes on a local basis, week in, week out, over a couple of months when the weather's really good. We'll actually all get to go to our local county ground and support our local team. Those towns, the whole country will be aflame on championship weekends as teams play each other at a standard where the matches are like 320 to 317. Like the Louth Offaly game in the championship this year, except that would be every game, every week. There'll be almost no more blowouts.
Or that Louth Offaly game may actually be in the upper echelons of Division 3. and everybody from Louth and Offaly know that they're only a couple of wins away from making the last 16 of the All-Ireland Football Championship. Now, this is what we need to be focused on. And when this argument has been had over the last little while, people are throwing out this refutation, which is dead rubbers. Dead rubbers is the phrase that gets thrown out all the time. I just don't know if there is a single good league in the world that doesn't have dead rubbers in it. Like, do we want every game to be a knockout championship game, but actually know the outcome in it? Like, they are the true dead rubbers when Dublin goes through the Leinster Championship for me. The dead rubbers are not a mid-table clash in Division 3, where everybody, at least at the start of the campaign, had a chance of winning the competition. So the way we would be moving with Proposal B is a far more competitive environment, and it's far closer to the NFL or the Champions League.
And everybody can make progress. You get a group of players who are committed, you get strength and conditioning, you get good quality coaching, you get data and analysis in matches that mean something over the summer, and then over the winter the players go back to their clubs, and then in springtime we get this like massive blitz of a trophy in the four provinces. It's right there for us, and the players are going to officially, I think the GPA executive meets next week, and after that there'll be statements. But the key part here is that they have asked the players in each of those counties to lobby the delegates who will be voting for this. There's a chance here that we change the future of Gaelic football forever. And if only the right decision gets made, then I think everybody's going to be really happy. It's going to mean more money, more games. It's going to mean you can play fantasy Gaelic football in the four divisions. You can have four divisions of All-Stars. There will be endless highlights on social. There will be endless podcasts and radio shows and TV shows about this. It's primed for explosion. But at the moment, certainly the Ulster Council CEO is on the record saying he thinks that this is dangerous. Jim McGuinness disagrees with it. And there's a few other people out there as well. We have an open invitation to those people to come on the radio and explain to us why they think this is a bad idea. There's one final point I want to make here, Owen. And in the grand tradition of Kerry football, you've had a championship haircut.
I've had a championship haircut, 2 months without a haircut until yesterday. I think I clocked in at 2 pounds of hair on the ground after yesterday. I could just chop and wait, you know, big couple of months ahead.
Well, big night ahead. Owen is shortlisted for the IMRO Sports Broadcaster of the Year Award. He's up against the grand poobahs around this place, the lads who have like nameplates and car parking spaces, Nathan and Joe. This would be an upset. This would be the underdog OTBAM toppling OTBPM.
It would be Meath winning the Women's All-Ireland. It would be Offaly winning the Under-20s. It would be Tyrone winning the Senior All-Ireland. This is how 2021 has been rolling. And I mean, it there is no live event this year. So, I mean, it's probably for the best that's not the case, because either way, it would either be a late night rant about why things didn't go Kerry's way tonight, or a late night lording over everybody else session, and neither of those two things are going to happen, except for maybe the fact that WhatsApp exists. We could potentially organise something.
Oh, you could always go live. We can arrange it so you can go live if you want, and so you can host the winning press conference at the Glen Eagles Hotel tomorrow.
Yeah, the Glen Eagle Hotel. Only one Glen Eagle in Kerry, multiple Glen Eagles in Scotland.
Okay. On that note, with that flex, Owen, thanks very much.
Cheers.